Blog Talk Radio.
You know, there's something truly soothing and healing, perhaps, I hope, about a goat screaming to start off your show. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I'm accompanied by
Sam Beakley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And you know, Dale, I got out of a YouTube video, because you told me they were there, to show my wife the screaming goats, because she didn't think they were really real. And
there's a lot of them, aren't there?
She's a believer now.
Yes, goats can scream and will.
She's a believer, yep.
Hey, you pull on any animal the right way, it'll scream.
Yeah.
Maybe not a snake, but, you know.
Yeah, but it can hiss at you.
Yeah. So, we're going to Amazon, not to do our Christmas shopping. No. Not the .com thing with the little swooshy smile. Nah, we're going back down to South America with a tale from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Right. Another episode starring good old Herman Munster.
Ah, good. Fred Gwynn back for some more. His voice is very good, and he seems to be so versatile on radio.
Yeah, and this one is a little different than any role I've heard him in. I mean, I've heard him do his Irish on the O. Henry story, but this one he's got a little bit of English accent on, although he's really more of a professor type thing, so like a new English professor type lilt he puts on today.
Oh, okay. Maybe a little Maine. Sometimes dead is better. And what's a ute? Anyway.
A ute. What's a ute?
A ute. Good evening, Fogsbane, and good old Bob. Thanks for joining us live in the chat. Glad to have you aboard.
Yeah, we got some fun with the Amazon. It's the, you know, when you think of Amazon, I guess, you think of either the Amazon River and you think of the piranha fish, but also you can think of the Aztecs and the influence
the
they had, how they ruled most, a good deal of South America for probably a century before the conquistadors got there, you know?
I believe there were a couple different empires, the Aztecs being one of them. The Mayans had their run.
They did, yeah.
Yep. So, not the history expert here myself, but I know there's a little bit of diversity that history there. It goes back a long way, longer than most people would think. Thank you, good old Bob. Feeling better in some ways, yes, and in some ways, not so much.
But
this is not a Cleveland accent. This is a ton of goo in my head that's rattling around. So if I sound a bit odd, sorry about that.
I won't add to that comment. Okay.
Well, more than usual.
Oh, my. But, yeah, another interesting tale from the Radio Mystery Theater. But,
yes. Hey, no worries, Fogs. At least I'm holding stuff down now. Hey, it was a heck of a week, I'll tell you that. What are you going to do? Nobody lives forever. But we're going to live long enough, we hope, to enjoy this tale from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And good title, The Altar of Blood.
Yes. Yep. And believe it or not, this is episode number 253, and comes to us from that silver age of radio of April 9th of 1970 and 5.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. At the beginning of the 16th century in what we now call Mexico, one of the world's most remarkable civilizations came to flower. The Aztecs were artists, architects, engineers, remarkable administrators, handsome, sensitive, and imaginative. Only one thing marred this great people, their cruel religion, which demanded and exacted the most terrifying sacrifices to the gods. Imagine, if you will, a time 400 years ago, in the season for pleasing the god Tlaloc, the rain god, who must be kept from pouring down torrents which would destroy the corn crop. We are in the house of Atox.
Are you ready, my daughter?
Yes, my father.
You are not afraid?
I am proud to have made myself chosen, but I am afraid.
Drink from the vessel. It will give you courage.
I shall not shame you.
It is time. The priest is waiting. Go. Wearing the golden ornaments about her neck, my daughter climbs the 114 steps to the twin temples. The multitude sees the black-clad figure slide from the inky darkness and spread eagle my daughter gently on the sacrificial stone. The high priest raises the obsidian dagger. With one frightful stroke, he drives it into her quivering flesh and reaching drags the heart, still breathing, from the cavity.
Maria,
daughter, what is it?
Oh, a dream. A terrible dream or a prophecy. Oh, Father, hold me. I'm so afraid.
Our mystery drama, The Altar of Blood, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Fred Gwynn. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Inside you're free after all. Yeah, freedom spirit, like a wild bird call. Inside you're free after all, living.
Feel like breaking loose, and so off you go in a Skyhawk, Buick's sleek, low-slung 2+2 road machine. Its streamlined nose thrust rakishly ahead, its spirited V6 engine supplying the motion. All of a sudden, living free becomes second nature. Skyhawk, catch one at your Buick dealer now.
Inside you're free.
This is WBBM Chicago. Dominick's, Chicagoland's most complete food store, has you in mind with many quality specials. This week, Dominick's Meat Department is featuring USDA government-inspected center-cut pork chops, just 97 cents a pound. While shopping Dominick's, be sure to stop by the delicatessen for two great money savers. Rath smoked Braunschweiger liver sausage, sold by the piece, is just 69 cents a pound, and Eckert smoked sausage, $1.39 a pound. This week, Dominick's also features a double bonus breakfast buy for you. Top your morning off with Heritage House concentrated frozen orange juice, a 6-ounce can, just 16 cents. Top your favorite cereal off with golden ripe bananas featured in Dominick's produce department for just 16 cents a pound. Shop the Dominick's nearest you this week and every week for money-saving values. Remember, Dominick's is your way to save.
The sudden death of Professor J. Hollington Wells' wife drove him in despair from the halls of Ivy, where he was a professor of archaeology, back into the field, back to Mexico. What had brought Professor Wells to Mexico City and Lake Texcoco was his wife's ancestry. Although a second-generation American herself, her forebears could be traced back to the Aztecs and their great city of Tenochtitlan. and on the ground of her ancestors, he tried to bury his grief in an intimate and deep study of the Aztecs, a contact that surprisingly led him far afield and his daughter into incredible and terrifying danger.
What is it, Maria, dear?
Oh, I had this terrible dream. I thought I had been held on the sacrificial altar, and the high priest had torn out my heart.
Oh, it's my fault. I should have never dragged you down.
Oh, don't blame yourself.
Ah, but I do. Echoes of the past, perhaps. Oh, heaven knows what pervading waves swirl around us from that great civilization which died too soon. Even I, who have no roots in them, couldn't sleep tonight, thinking of all their prowess and their grandeur.
Were you dreaming of sacrifices, too?
Half awake. But yes, hard to understand the contradiction. A people so intellectually awake to life, and yet so tied to fear of the future.
Maybe I can understand them a little.
Hmm? What do you mean?
I don't quite know. I am descended from them. I was thinking of Mother.
Of Carlotta? Why?
Why did she have to die so young? What sacrifice would you have made to save her if you could have?
Oh, this is night talk, darling. No melancholy maunderings by me. You can't change what has happened. We came away to try and write off a personal tragedy.
Except that you didn't pick the best place to forget.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah. Mexico, particularly Tecnoctitlan, was the last place to run to. Where shall we pick up to leave for tomorrow? Madagascar? Carcassonne? Tahiti? New Zealand? Or back to the good old USA?
No, I like Mexico. And no wild nightmare is going to change anything. But I would like to get away from the valley for a while.
Why not? My notes are all complete. I can write my book anywhere. Besides, I'd like to see the other coast. Ah, I've got an idea.
What?
I've never seen nor traveled the Pacific side. We'll rent a car and drive through Guadalajara to Puerto Vallarta and down to Playa Colorado for a real vacation.
Playa Colorado?
It's one of those new clubs that provide a total vacation, which are opening up all over the world. Inexpensive, good food, scads of young people for you to meet instead of hanging around with an old fogey like me.
That isn't the way I think of you.
Yeah, well, I'll accept the compliment, but then insist the wiser head must prevail. What you need is someone your own age to blow the past right out of your head. And that's just what I'm going to arrange to have happen to you. Now, go back to sleep, and no more dreams. We're really leaving the past behind now. Good night.
I love you, Father. I am sleepy. Good night. Oh, it's a whole new country.
Mexico has as many faces as the U.S.
Oh, I wouldn't agree to that all the way. But compared to the Yucatan and the valley, oh, this is marvelous. Oh, those craggy mountains to the left, and how wonderful to look out to the sea on the right. It's a little like the Amalfi Drive in Italy.
Since I'm driving, I'm glad this road is better. Although I guess by now they've widened that old terror.
They have. But I remember that first year after high school and before college that you drove Mom and me down the Italian coast.
I'd rather forget it.
I'm sorry.
Oh, not because of your mother. Just how scared I was driving. Damn!
What is it?
Blowout. Oh, thank heaven it was a rear tire.
Why don't you stop?
On this road? I'm trying to find some place I can pull over and be out of traffic.
You can't go to the right. It's a hundred-foot drop. Cut over to the left.
Into a sheer cliff? Oh, no. Wait a minute. Hold your hat.
What are you going to do?
There's a little spot over there. I can drive the car off the road. But it'll be rough going for a moment, too. Then comes around the bend as we cross. Here goes. Oh, damn.
Another tire?
I'm afraid so. Now we're really stuck.
Okay, Professor. Which way do we start walking?
Well, not back anyway. We must be a good 15 to 20 miles outside Puerto Vallarta.
And the other way?
There's a village, Tomatian. I wonder if we'd find a mechanic there. It's quite a hike.
Well, we can't just sit here. It'll be dark in a few hours.
We're not exactly in the wilderness, you know. There is a bus route along this road, and we have passed a few other cars.
All of them headed the opposite way, and few and far between.
Well, at least we can speak the language. Socorro! Hey, senor! Socorro! Por favor, senor. Nuestro automóvil es no
American,
trabaja.
You're American, sir. Save me the Spanish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My French is great, my German is passable, and in 6 months I hope my Spanish will be at least as good. But right now, I'm happy to find it's Americans in trouble. Oh, I didn't mean it the way it sounds.
Oh, I know you didn't. Oh, this is my daughter, Maria, and my name is Wells. Hallington Wells. Hell of a name when you come right down to it.
Well, I don't think so. Not if you're the J. Hallington Wells, the archaeologist.
That's who he is.
Well, then, this is an unexpected honor and pleasure, Miss Wells. I'm Bill Hallam.
Oh, you're interested in archaeology?
You're my major in college. I'm pleased to meet you.
As we are you, for more reasons than one.
I'll second that. But we'd better get a move on before some crazy Mexican comes one way or the other or both and finds my Jeep in the way. They drive this road like it was the Indy 500.
I'm afraid my car's grounded.
Yes, I can see that. Unless you have two spares. But I can give you a lift. Where were you headed?
Playa, Colorado.
Well, that's just great. It's where I work. Come on, the chariot awaits. I'll help you with your bags, and we can make all of the arrangements to have your car taken care of there.
What do you do at the club?
I am what they call a G.O. I'll get the big one, Professor.
Oh, what's a G.O.?
A General Organizateur. Polite name for beach boy, guide, companion. And then all of us have our own specialties. Have we got everything?
I think so.
What's your specialty, Bill?
A sailing instructor.
Oh, great. I'd love to go for a sail with you.
You know something? So would I.
I don't normally get knocked off my feet by the body beautiful. My parents, background, natural affinity has been more for brains than brawn. But it was obvious Bill had both. And Playa, Colorado was just what the doctor might have ordered for Dad and me. Glorious meals. A hacienda-type bungalow hanging on the mountainside over the sea. Complete informality. And most of all, a return to the present. A cutting of a link with the past that had obsessed me all my life. My Aztec heritage. And my father's absorption in yesterday rather than today. And the best part of all was my daily sail with Bill.
All right.
Heaven.
Stand by to come about.
Do we have to?
Oh, on this tack, if we go any further, we're committed to go right out of the bay into the Pacific.
Why can't we?
It can get a bit rough out there.
Well, I don't get seasick.
Yeah, we're not supposed to.
Oh, come on. You know the clubs between turnovers. There are plenty of other boats. And we have the kicker if we get in real trouble.
I can't think of anyone I'd rather get in trouble with.
Well, then hold your course, matey. There's a little cove out there beyond this big island, or whatever it is. Can we fetch that cove?
If the wind doesn't shift, I'd reckon. And we've plenty of gas to get home if it picks up and we have to sail back into it.
Then take me there?
Lady, I will kid you not. I would take you to the end of the earth if you asked me, and care not a whit if I ever return.
That's very nice. You're quite a poet, Bill.
So is every man in love.
Look out for those summer romances.
Well, it's a lot deeper than that, Maria.
I know. But let's give it a little time to grow up. I have the funniest feeling about that little cove, Bill. Did you like it?
Cool Knox Paradise.
I think it's just what Dad's been looking for since Mother died. You know that big mound that juts out from the mountain with a sort of mesa on top?
Yeah.
It'd be the perfect place for a small house. There's water from the stream above. You could cut a driveway down from the main road. There's electricity and phone lines there. I wonder who owns the property.
I think it's state land. The alcalde in Manzanillo would know.
Could you take Dad over there tomorrow to see it?
Sure. But, you know, building there wouldn't be all that easy. practically jungle, planted with mesquite and cactus and vines. And there's only a thin layer of soil over sheer volcanic rock.
I know, Bill, I know, but I don't know how to say it. Something calls me there, tells me to go there. Insists that I come back to stay. I've got to go back. No matter what, I have got to take Dad to see it. We did go back, and Dad's reaction was just as strong as mine. It was like coming home. So 2 days later, we found ourselves discussing the possibility of buying the property with the mayor of Manzanillo.
And as I say, senor, it can be bought.
For a very fair price, I hope.
Well, yes, the price is cheap, but I am aware of your prominence, Dr. Wells, and I'm also well aware that your daughter is of our people historically. I feel it would be unfair not to tell you that this place has, how do you say, it has a bad name.
Why?
It is a forest, a jungle, no?
From the road, yes.
There is much wildlife, more than is usual in this part of Mexico. I don't mean the snakes, the iguana. I mean the jaguar, perhaps the puma even. In this area, there have been many unexplained deaths.
You mean man-eating jaguars?
Something like that.
What do you mean, something like that?
If we lived in the valley or the Yucatan, one might worry about ancient ghosts.
Ghosts?
The men and occasional animals who have been found dead all died the same way.
How?
The senorita will forgive me. I try not to be too, how do you say, graphic. But the chest has been torn apart and the heart removed and taken away. The rest of the body has been untouched.
Why would a carnivorous animal who kills to eat select only the heart? Or is this just legend, which can be created and believed so easily by peasants who live in constant daily superstition? Or does the alcalde have some ulterior motive to protect this piece of mountain shoreline we do not yet understand? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
A lot of things, like a taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Let's say this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Bud, you said the word that means you like to do it all. When you say Bud, you say you care enough to only want the king of beers.
Budweiser's always been the king of beers, and always will be, for one simple reason. It's quality taste. And that speaks for itself. Hear it talking?
When you say Budweiser, you said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
That's right. Those commercials take me right back to that era.
Yep. Back when they even had jingles for commercials, jingles for TV theme songs, all kinds of things.
Yeah, now they just have jingles for medicines.
That's about it. That's about it.
Yep. Which is a shame. It's good talent going to waste, man.
It is. I mean, that isn't even available for people who have a good voice but really couldn't go out on the road and do things with it and stuff. Yet they'd be in studio musician and in a studio... A studio singer, that kind of a thing, given all the call letters and stuff, which they don't do anymore on radio and all that kind of fun stuff.
No, it's, you know, like I have a face for radio. Okay.
Me too.
So this is where I would go, but like, yeah, for singers, songwriters and stuff like that, maybe they're not, they didn't fall into the most successful landing, but somewhere they can thrive, like writing jingles.
Right, jingles or singing. I know the Funniest Home Videos when it first came out, they had one episode that they did live and had Ernie Anderson there live because he was the announcer, and had the gal that sang that song. She was there, it was really fun to watch her sing that song.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Well, Dave, let's move along because we might be able to squeeze in some extra material for you guys towards the end of the show.
Woo! So, all right.
I am not disappointed in this episode at all. Fred Gwynn is great. Nice to hear Mason Adams joining in.
Yep. And I'll even give you a little bit of a hint. There's even some time travel involved in this.
Ooh.
Woo!
Okay, back to the Altar of Blood from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
A visit to your nearby True Value Hardware store can help you start something. Anything battery-operated. They have a big selection of Rayovac heavy-duty supercell batteries in a wide range of sizes. These heavy-duty supercells will last far longer than regular batteries, so they'll keep your camera, radio, tape recorder, calculator, toys, and all battery-operated devices working longer, up to 110% longer than ordinary batteries. And Rayovac backs all these heavy-duty supercells with their guarantee. If these batteries should leak and damage any device in which they're used, Rayovac will fix or replace that device free of charge. So if you want to start something, anything battery-operated, get the battery you can depend on. Rayovac heavy-duty supercells. The wide selection of long-lasting Rayovac heavy-duty supercell batteries is just another one of the many reasons you'll find to shop easier at the True Value Hardware store near your home.
Whatever the alcalde's doubts may have been about Vista de la Laguna, as the property turned out to be called, Maria and her father brushed them aside. They were impelled, almost driven to buy. The transaction was simple, and within a week, mestizos were hacking and grading a rough road down from the main one. In less than a month, the foundation had been dug. And late one afternoon, Bill had come down to visit them at the temporary trailer in which they were living.
Hey, your building crew cuts out pretty early.
One cloud over the sun, even the hint of darkness on the way, and they are over the hill.
Vista de Laguna doesn't enjoy much reputation except between Maria and me.
You see no signs of jaguar or puma?
No. I had the bush beaten pretty thoroughly before we bought, and there was no sign or track of them.
How do you suppose the legend built up?
Search me. This isn't land for those creatures anyway.
You don't suppose...
Suppose what?
Well, you know, the business of the heart being torn out. That's so Aztec or Mayan or...
No, the Mayans never spread west beyond Oaxaca, as far as we know. And the Aztecs were concentrated in the middle of the country. Although, we know after Cortez and the invasion, they scattered and were driven west. There is some belief that they may have occupied a small strip of the Pacific coast.
Not here, Daddy. Please, not here.
Unlikely. And yet...
Hey, look, I didn't want to throw a damper on the evening. I brought a big picnic hamper from Louis Pierre, the chef du village, and some champagne.
That's nice of him. What's the special occasion?
Well...
I meant to speak to you sooner, Daddy, but... Well, the days are so full, and we haven't had much chance to talk about anything except, well, except all this.
Getting the old ball and chain settled. So you young folk can be free to enjoy each other and a life together.
I love him, Daddy.
Well, even a myopic old daughter like me can see that. What's that?
Sounds like thunder.
Oh, no, not yet. Too early. It could ruin the corn crop if the rains come. And we'd have a moat instead of a foundation ditch. Which reminds me...
What?
I'm going to grab me a shovel. I want to dig at least a couple of shovelfuls of earth out of the foundation I'm building for the rest of my life.
Me too.
Well, while you answer busy digging, I'll haul the picnic out of the Jeep. Sounds like some storm. You could feel the earth tremble. I'll lug the basket under the trailer canopy just in case.
Getting dark. I don't like it.
Oh, it's just a thunderstorm. It'll blow over. Want a hand down?
Oh, I'm not that old. Look out. See? Spry as a 20-year-old. Okay, let's dig our marks into posterity. Shovels ready? Aim. Go.
Oh,
happened? Where are you? What? They're gone. Vanished into thin air.
I tell you, Senor Alcalde, one moment they were there digging, then a flash of lightning came and thunder, and they just disappeared.
Was it still light enough to see?
Yes, then. I dropped into the foundation, and I grabbed a shovel, and I tried to dig. And it hit something solid like lava. After I cleared away the loose earth, I could see that it was a great flat stone like... Well, I found an edge, and I tried to pry it, but you couldn't budge it. It must weigh tons. We've got to get a backhoe or a crane up there and try to find them.
Hey, we will do what we can, but I am afraid when we find them, it will be like the others.
What do you mean?
The gossip of the viejos has always been that some of the Aztecs fled through the pass in the mountains from the valley Manzanillo and made a colony. That is why Vista de la Laguna bears la maledicion del diablo. I think the professor and his daughter have been stolen as a sacrifice against the early rain.
I hadn't taken more than my shovelful of earth, scraping it off the hard surface below, before I knew what I was uncovering. An Aztec sacrificial stone. And at my next stroke, never mind the elements and the pyrotechnics around us, I must have struck some concealed spot that controlled a balance mechanism. For in a moment, both Maria and myself were flipped by the great stone into a chamber below. No sooner were we deposited there than the 5 or 6 ton slab reversed itself on some complex counterweight system and sealed us in this tomb. You all right, Maria?
Oh, yes, a few scrapes and bruises. You?
Nothing I can't live with, if we're going to live. But wait a minute.
What is it?
My lighter.
Where are we?
In a chamber under the sacrificial stone.
What sacrificial stone?
Our lovely mountain eyrie looking out over the cove was obviously an Aztec pyramid. Covered centuries ago by either lava from an erupting volcano or just possibly the encroachment of hundreds of years of jungle growth growing in wind-blown earth.
Well, if the stone tipped one way, it can tip the other, can't it?
If we can find out how to do it while there's oxygen or light enough left. Look for some counterweight. Maybe we can trace what operates them.
Well, maybe Bill can do something from up above.
Yeah, maybe. This light won't last long. But there's one good sign.
What?
We're not sealed in. There's air coming from someplace. Wait. Here it is. A staircase. Going down.
Where would that take us?
Perhaps to the burial vault. Perhaps to ground level. And the way the Aztec priests used to climb unseen to the temple. Yeah, and the air smells fresh enough. Should we try it?
Why not?
Just a curious feeling I have.
You're trying to hold something back from me. What is it?
I don't know how to tell you. It's a ridiculous, superstitious feeling. But I have this inescapable certainty that if we do descend these stairs again and come out into the world again, it won't be the same one we know.
You don't have to put it into words. I have the same feeling that it won't be back into the 20th century, but somehow, through some time warp, we'll be thrown back 400 years. Is that it?
Yes.
To a civilization you've studied most of your life. Isn't that what you want?
There are two of us, darling. It certainly isn't what you want. No. We stay here and wait and see if Bill can't exhume us.
La grua is... What do you call it? The crane is falling off the road.
Oh, Lord.
The rain has made the edges soft. Now we must send for another one to pull this one back up again.
If they're trapped under that stone, they could smother to death.
It is unfortunate, Señor Bill, but case it will have served for a clear and deus.
Well, God or somebody had better get a move on.
Daddy.
Yes?
Is it hard to breathe?
Yes.
What time is it?
I can't see without my glasses. Here, can you read my wristwatch?
Looks like a little after 5:30.
Should be daylight pretty soon.
That means we've been trapped here for over 8 hours. Oh, it is hard to breathe. And I'm cold.
Yeah, I guess neither of us were dressed for an adventure like this. Me in shorts and a thin Mexican cotton shirt, and you in that pareja you bought at the club.
Lovely for Tahitian shores, but not made for catacombs.
One way or another, as we're dressed, we could pass for ancient Aztecs, or Toltecs, or some related tribe.
One way or the other, we may be joining my ancestors if we don't get somewhere warmer and with more air.
I think you're right, darling. I guess we'll have to try the steps. If we only had some light.
Oh, I have a match folder in my bra. I left my cigarettes on the bank when I jumped into the fountain ditch.
If there was only something we could just make a torch out of.
We don't need one.
What?
We'll light a match when we need one. But we can feel our way. It isn't that far down.
How do you know that?
I don't know. I just know. There's the start of it. Keep your hand on my shoulder. I'll lead the way.
You sound as if you know it.
I feel as though I'm beginning to remember.
Remember what?
Oh, the match went out. Where I came from. What I was meant for. Where I must go. Come, Father. They are waiting.
Light a match, Maria.
None left. It doesn't matter. I know the way. This is the last step, except one. The step to open the great stone. Watch, Father.
You have returned again, great princess Itzlakan.
I heard you call, High Prince Kalkum. I heard my people's cry for help.
Tlaloc, the rain god, hurls down his spears of driving water to destroy the corn, the life of our people. What sacrifice can we offer him to spare us all?
Who else but the Morning Star? Come. Come, make me ready for what must be done.
No, Maria.
Please,
no.
The old man.
No, you
keep
must
him
be
quiet.
You must be mad, or we must be. This is the 20th century.
What?
1975.
What is this? 1975.
The date on your calendar. The Aztec calendar. What day is this?
Why, any fool know that. This is the 9th cycle. 7 rabbit, 2 crocodile.
7 rabbit, 9 52, 9. Oh, my God.
What is it, Father?
We've walked down those stairs and out into the past 400 years ago in 1575.
From the moment the great stone ground open and let them out into the light at the base of a great pyramid, they have spoken in Nahuatl, the speech of the Aztec. The professor haltingly, as with a foreign tongue, but Maria fluently and confidently, as though it were her own. Is she the reincarnation of some ancient princess, dead for over 400 years? I'll return shortly with Act 3.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living, but there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects, or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Let's see if you're good at solving mysteries. Northwest Federal Savings is offering gifts in the Northwest Federal Savings 50th Anniversary Gift Rally. They're free or at greatly reduced prices just for saving $250 or more at Northwest Federal Savings. Beautiful gifts, like a Sunbeam electric fry pan or a Rival crock pot. Cuddly gifts, like a St. Mary's Velura blanket. And helpful gifts, like a cordless grass shears. And over 25 more gifts to choose from at Northwest Federal Savings. There's a Northwest Federal Savings Center on Irving Park, one block west of Cicero, in Des Plaines on Dempster, and in the Harlem Irving Plaza. Now, where's the best place to save? Northwest Federal Savings, of course. That shouldn't have been hard to figure out. And your gifts shouldn't be hard to get, because Northwest Federal Savings is open 63 hours a week.
It's Northwest Federal Savings time, 63 hours a week.
All righty. 63 hours, I don't get it. But, hey, this
well,
must
it,
be...
Well, we talked about banker's hours. I think that's, you know, banker's hours. You would start about 10 in the morning. Back when we were a youngins and ended about 4 o'clock, something like that, which meant people who worked couldn't get to the bank.
So you got these guys to help you out. This show must be, this recording of CBS Radio Mystery Theater, I'm guessing it's from the Chicago area. They mentioned Cicero.
Right. This is coming to, this is good, from good old Wubbum Radio.
You mean Wubbum?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
I just don't say that as well as you do.
Yeah, well, I just shook my teeth loose, but...
Oh, Bob. Judge, you want a polyester blanket. I'm in.
There you go.
I can use that some nights, that's for sure. Yeah.
Prefer flannel myself, but I digress. This is quite a chilling tale here.
Yep.
I mean, they're not fooling around. We got elements of horror in this baby.
We do. And it's coming up on sacrifice time. Ooh.
Yep. They're putting the eerie in Eerie House, I'll tell you.
This is one of the eerier stories we've had. I remember the one about the haunted house one we had. That one was pretty eerie. This is a scary one. There is so much going back and bringing the Aztec back into this and such, the way they are is very, I think it's Ian Martin, I believe, that wrote this one. He's also, I think, in the cast as well. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't feel like the time travel is very science fiction-y. It seems to be more
matter of
supernatural,
fact,
more of a supernatural type.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And we might as well wrap things up then on the Altar of Blood.
Yes.
Radio Mystery Theater.
This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78. 11:07 our time, 37 degrees at Chicago's Midway Airport.
The sun was barely over the mountains as they walked away from the base of the Great Pyramid towering between them and the sea. The professor, looking about it, was transfixed with mingled disbelief and wonder. All around him, scattered in the foothills, surrounding the pyramids on three sides, were the woven thatched huts of a complete Aztec settlement. High above, where he and his daughter had stood last night, planning to build a house, were the temples and the sacrificial stone.
Maria.
Yes, Father, what is it?
Can you believe what we're seeing?
I believe because I remember and speak in Nahuatl. It is not seemly to talk in a foreign language before the high priest.
Oh, the devil with him for the moment. I'm more concerned about you. What's happening to you? Maria, this is a dream. A fantasy. It can't be real.
But it is real.
Darling, it's impossible. Look, only last night, you and Bill and I were standing on top of this great pyramid here, only it was buried in the debris of centuries, and we were planning...
Bill?
Sure. Bill, the boy you're in love with. Oh, don't try to kid me that you're not...
Bill? I can't quite remember.
Look up there. He must be going frantic trying to find a way to get us out of the trap we fell into.
I see no one there but the temples and the stone. Do you?
Well, no, not at the moment.
What do you and the old one talk of in these strange words, Princess Istakhan?
It is of no matter, Kalkumul. He speaks our tongue less smoothly. The rain clouds are gathering again.
The smoking mirror god frowns on us. And Quetzalcoatl, the plumed serpent, has deserted us in our need. Last year there was a drought. We lost a third of our people. If the corn is lost this year, we perish.
I will go to my place to make ready. Take my father and make him drink of Oxley, so his spirit is prepared for what must be.
It shall be as you say, Princess.
Father, you stay here. There's something I have to do.
No, Maria. No, I'm not letting them separate
us. Old man, you will do as you are told. Here, you mean nothing. Seize him.
No, no.
You shall not harm him.
He will not be harmed. You have my word.
I will see you, my father. Pray for me and the god of the sun to keep the rain from us.
No, Maria. No. Don't go.
There is nothing you or any man can do. It is written in the stars. Come. Drink of Oxley and look for forgetfulness.
Okay, back her up slowly. Easy she goes. Lord, I hope that cable holds. Okay, she's starting to come. Watch it!
Anyone hurt?
No, senor, he's okay.
Is this the only crane in the county?
Si, senor.
Oh, the best we can do is a bulldoze. Okay, we'll rig another cable and try again. At least the rain has stopped.
Senor, don't you think by now it's too late?
It can't be too late. I must do everything to save Maria, even if it means giving my own life.
As they dragged me away from my daughter, a sudden lassitude seized me. I felt old and useless and out of my depth. It was incredible that facing me, about me, around me, everywhere I turned, was the dream of an archaeologist's life. To see an Aztec village in full operation, in its own time. But that's where the madness lay. I'm no believer in time warps, nor fourth and fifth dimensions. Now, I could not accept this moment as the 16th century. But the horrible gnawing fear was that my daughter could, and did, and somehow belonged. Kalkumul.
Yes, old man.
How came you here? Where no other Aztec clan has come.
After the fall of Montezuma, we were either made slaves or scattered to the wind. Some of us found a pass through the mountains here and found the place by the sea to the west. And we found it good. And the white man and Cortez did not know to follow. So we were safe.
But the Aztecs were not sea people.
No. And here cannot grow our chinampas and our milpas. The cornfields do not produce so well. So we must try to make the best of it. That is why we must make so many sacrifices to the gods.
Is that what you expect my daughter to do?
It is not what I ask. It is why she is sent.
What do you mean?
You do not know that many years ago, when first we came here and would have died for food, that she mounted the 114 steps to the temple and by her sacrifice saved the corn and the village. You do not know, you who bring her here again. Are you not from the gods, too?
In a way. I don't know how to explain it to you, Kalkumul, but we are from 9, nearly 10 sheaves ahead in time, from a world you will never live to see. Or your children are their children, or their children after them.
Ah, you come to destroy us.
If you must have a sacrifice, take me, not my daughter.
You are not a royal princess, or from a royal house.
I am her father.
So you say. Of you, I know nothing. Of the princess, I have seen with my own eyes the living pictures, the Toltecs traced of her inside the temples. We must put our faith in her.
I won't let you harm her.
What can you do? You are old and weak. See that he is made to drink of Ockley, so he loses himself in dream.
By damn, we did it! Okay, now come on. Let's get the crane down to the mesa and get that stone block lifted.
Why are you not dressed and ready as I am, Princess?
I don't know. You are not as you were before.
Before?
The other time.
Ah, no. No, this time I wear one of the dreaded conqueror's helmets. A metal we do not know, called iron. It is a symbol of great power. The drums have begun. It is time. No more waiting.
Kalkamur, listen to me. Do you believe I come from the gods?
Yes, Princess, but the clouds are gathering about the sun already.
Then if you believe I do, will you not listen to me?
To hear what?
That our gods are false gods. That sacrifice brings nothing in return. This was the message I was sent to bring back to you.
I do not accept it. You speak with the forked tongue of the strangers from across the eastern sea. I go now to the temple and the stone. If you do not follow me by yourself, I will first offer up the old one who came with you.
No.
Then I give you time to make your peace with the gods. By the time the sun is one more hand's breadth over the mountains, if you do not start to mount the steps, the old one will be dead.
Ever tried to wake yourself from a nightmare beyond belief and failed? I can't explain the feeling that I was part of this ancient culture, that something like this had happened before, that perhaps I was facing destiny. But other things had begun to flood back into my consciousness. A modern world, a very sweet guy named Bill that I thought I... And then the only person in my mind's eye was my father. Already stricken by my mother's early death, being dragged up that inside flight of stairs to the sacrificial stone, his chest bared to the plunge of the obsidian knife, and... No! Listen to me, who can hear. All things on earth have their term. And in the most joyous career of their vanity and splendor, their strength fails and they sink into the dust. The things of yesterday are no more today. And the things of yesterday shall cease, perhaps on the morrow. Let us cast aside the horrors of the tomb and reach only for the brilliance of the sun. The shadows cast of death brings the stars no brilliance. Let us, everyone, seek and make his own future and his own heaven. No one else can make it for you.
The rain is on us, upon us. Forget the old fool. Seize the princess. Throw her upon the storm. Spread eagle her. Bare her chest. Oh, smoking mirror god, whose breath and heat we quail from in fear. O Tlaloc, god of the rains, hear us and accept this sacrifice we offer you, as now I raise the knife on high, ready to offer you the gift of the Princess Istakhan's pulsing heart. Offer us thy blessing in the moment before I strike!
What happened?
The bolt of lightning went straight to Calcimol's iron helmet as though he were a lightning rod.
Oh, but the explosion.
Volcanic eruption. Probably what buried this civilization 4 centuries ago.
You mean we're back in the present?
Locked in. Yeah, in our own tomb.
Oh, I can't breathe.
Maria, oxygen almost gone.
The stairs.
There are no stairs. Blocked by the rubble of centuries. Even if there were, would you dare go down them again?
Oh, Daddy, hold me. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Then perhaps we could offer a prayer. Not to false gods, but to the true one. Almighty God, Almighty Father, I ask this, not for myself who have lived long enough, but only for my daughter. I ask for her the gift of life.
Maria! Professor! Are you all right?
Oh, yes, Bill, yes!
They're all right! They're alive!
Gracias a Dios!
Oh, Daddy! Oh, Daddy, we're alive!
Yes. Yes, thanks to... Did you hear what the alcalde said? Thanks to the blessing of God.
Did Professor Wells and his daughter walk down those steep stairs into an ancient world to find they were the reincarnation of 400-year-old Aztecs? Or was it all an illusion? A haunting thought to live with. But what is far more important to both of them is just to be alive. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, dear. I'm home.
Will the defendant please rise?
Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but...
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
I worked late, and the traffic was heavy, and I stopped for a drink at Rocky's.
The accused is charged with breach of promise and willful negligence.
Okay, so it's 7:15, but you have to make a big federal case out of it.
The defendant is found guilty as charged.
Close the court at your house. Cancel the trials. Stop appointing each other as both judge and jury. Hear where the other is and work through the hassles together. And forgive a little, as God forgives a lot. A nudge toward respecting others from the Mennonite churches.
Just one further note before I leave you. Excavations now in progress at Vista de la Laguna prove beyond a doubt that there was an Aztec village there some 400 years ago that was buried in tons upon tons of lava and ashes from a volcanic explosion. And in one of the temples, there is a painting of the Princess Itlaca, which bears a remarkable resemblance to Mrs. William Hallam, nay, Maria Wells. It's a tantalizing thought that maybe... Well, it's only speculation. We'll have to let it go at that. Our cast included Fred Gwynn, Jennifer Harmon, Mason Adams, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Last night, I lay awake, tortured by this miserable, painful arthritis, my fingers, my legs. And by the light of the full moon that was pouring in through the window, I kept staring at that portrait of you on the wall over there.
Katie, please.
Now, don't interrupt me. There you were, as you are now, young, strong, handsome. And as I gazed at that painting, a mist... A cloud of some kind seemed to cover over your beautiful features, to color your face completely. As I looked, I realized it had been painted as if a thin cloth had been placed over your sweet face, the kind of cloth is placed over the features of a corpse.
Oh, Katie, that's ridiculous. Look at that painting now.
Now, you must not laugh at me. As I continued to study the painting, I saw below the edge of the cloth the dark blue marks of fingers on your throat.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78, 1124.
The Brumsky Channel. All right, we just heard Altar of Blood, and boy, that was good.
Yes, wonderful story.
It has returned my appetite to me.
The blood has returned your appetite? Okay.
Yeah, the whole story and good old Bob's comment about zipper scars on people's chests after open heart surgery. Hey, after being sick all week, now my appetite is back. Thank you, fellas. Yep. So we got a little bit of time here, don't we, Dave?
We do.
Because
Mystery Theater, in generally, ran, again, if I left one commercial in between each act, which I like to do when I put them on cassette, you could get a complete show, one commercial in between each break, and it fit on one side of a 90-minute cassette.
Nice. Well, I love the old commercials. I'm glad you leave them in for our show because it's just a time machine for me.
It is. Right. And just like, you know, some people get a kick out of the old ads from the 50s and 40s. Well, this is our heyday, and we get a kick. It just brings back so many memories.
It does. Like the beer commercials, the broadcaster's voice, most of them were sports guys. It reminds me a lot of the great football teams of the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers. Oh, gosh. Jerry Rice, greatest receiver of all time, but in my mind.
But yeah, and actually, think of Budweiser. That's their spokesman for years and years and years was Ed McMahon, and that of course always brings me back to Johnny Carson. You know,
yes.
And I remember when they even used to do the commercials live.
For me, it was waiting for a big check that was never coming.
Yeah, Ed McMahon would be selling dog food, and Johnny would be trying to feed a dog with it. You know, the Alpo or something. You know, so. I always, you know, that's the kind of things that these can bring back memories of.
Yes. Yeah. I'm still waiting for Ed McMahon to bring me my publisher clearinghouse check.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be waiting a while, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I'll wait.
Yeah. That wasn't he announcer for Solid Gold too. I think he was.
He did Star Search.
It was Star Search what was on at the same time. Yeah.
Yes. There you go. Fogsbane's got it. Yep.
Ooh, yeah. So,
we got time for some extra material. And
yeah.
We're not even going to go through the facade of the wheel because this one's not random. This one we kind of plunked in here because it's nice and lengthy and funny as hell.
Yeah, this is special, and we can talk about this after we hear the clip.
Sure. So without any further ado, here's Bob Hope, Dean Martin, and Jerry Lewis.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here tonight to perform a very pleasant task. As you must know by now, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis are two young and very talented fellas whom NBC has adopted. I'm sure they'll bring you many hours of top entertainment. I'm sincerely honored to be here and welcome to the network the handsome, talented, gorgeous voice, Dean Martin.
Well, thanks, Bob, for all the wonderful compliments.
And his partner, Jerry Lewis.
Thanks, Bob. Now, thanks, Bob, for I don't get no compliments.
Jerry, is that any way to talk to Bob after he comes all the way down here to wish us luck? I think it's very swell of him.
Oh, it's nothing. I didn't have anything else to do this evening. It's the maid's night off.
But I know how it is when you're starting a new show. It seems like only yesterday that I was worrying about my radio program. In fact, it was only yesterday.
Well, we really appreciate this, Bob. We figured we need plenty of help to succeed in Hollywood.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to be very successful, Dean.
Well, how about Jerry?
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, come on, Mr. Hope. Stop making with the jokes like that. You promised you'd make us seem funny.
Well, don't worry about it, Jerry. No comedian's ever going to top that top of yours. Tell me, who does your hair? Are you Bangy?
Nobody does it. I just get out of bed, and if I can't see anything, I know my hair is combed.
Well, Jerry can't help the way his hair looks, Bob. You see, when his parents found him on the doorstep, they threw him away and raised the Fuller brush sample.
Well, that's hair, huh? He looks like the boy with the green Brillo.
What's the matter with my hair? It's hair, ain't it?
Are you asking or telling?
I'm wondering.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, and it's just that you look like you're standing with your back to a high wind.
It just grows that way, and I'm not standing with my back to any high wind. On the contrary.
Look, Bebop. Were you born, or did your mother miss a question on truth or consequences?
Listen, what's wrong with it if I happen to like my hair rather short?
Rather short. What does the barber use, scissors or sandpaper?
The barber uses scissors, but he works from the inside.
And he sings, too, you know.
Can I go now?
Yeah, anytime. That's all we can get with that. Go, it's all right.
Well, it just so happens I have to keep my hair short, Mr. Hope. Every time I let it get any longer than this, my knees buckle. It didn't pay.
Can I go now? Well, I want to tell you, you boys are going to be working pretty hard from now on, so, Jerry, you've got to build up your strength.
What do you suggest, Mr. Hope?
Put something in your pot, boy.
Oh, Jerry will fill out when he gets a little older, Bob. You know, he's not as old as some comedians.
Got another high wind here. Don't look at me when you say that, you West Point victimone. You're looking at a man of 31, you know. No laugh?
31. 31. 31.
He keeps doing it till he gets a good reading.
Wait a minute, Mr. Hope. I saw your birth certificate, and you're not 31.
Jerry?
Don't try to stop me, Dean. The birth certificate said born in 1910, and this is 1949. You're not 31. You're 35.
Thank you, Joel Kupperman. Nice counting. Did you hire an income tax man this year, or are you leaving us soon?
Well, you see how young he is, Bob? It was embarrassing when we were working the nightclubs.
It was embarrassing?
Yes. After we finished our act, Jerry would step up to the bar and order three fingers of Mead's formula with a pablum chaser.
I know. The other night he was on my show. After every joke he told, I had to throw him over my shoulder and burp him.
Now listen, you two. It's all right for you to stand there and vituperate my adolescence. But I will have you know that Gerard Lewis is capable of exuding as much sophistry as anyone else.
Jerry.
Yes?
Your safety pin is unfastened again.
Yeah, and you can see the inside of your head.
All right, you fellas are just jealous because when I go over to Paramount, Jane Russell holds me on her knee.
What do you think she holds me?
Off?
You peaked.
You know, Bob, we envy you making pictures with all the big stars. Did you have a hard time getting started into show business?
Hard, Dean?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, one time in New York, I lived for 6 months on nothing but donuts. Every time I'd ask an agent for a job, I'd get so nervous I'd break out in powdered sugar. Fortunately, I had a partner who broke out in cold coffee.
Really, Bob, we'll always remember one thing, though. You were so wonderful to us when we first came to Paramount, when we were poor and hungry. Why, we couldn't even afford to split one of those 50-cent box lunches.
Oh, it was nothing.
Nothing? You call it nothing making us a special one for a quarter?
Well, I came out all right. I just used less Swan soap in the salad. Hey, you boys are making a movie now. How do you like acting, Jerry?
Oh, it's great, Bob. What scenes I have. What lines I deliver. What emotion I portray. My one scene I say... One scene...
Start over. It's take. Crosby starts 10 times a night. Go ahead.
I better hurry. We'll be here till Christmas. All right. Why, yes. Not really. In one scene, I say to the girl, Bob, I say,
the world may think of me as a nobody, but Gwendolyn, in your arms, I'm a bird soaring up in the blue. I'm a flower pushing up my head through the soil. I'm a moth floating helplessly into your burning flame. Boy, that's emoting, isn't it? How do you like that, Bob?
Hello, Mort. Jerry, tell me one thing.
What's that?
Are you for real?
Now, you just wait a minute, Mr. Hope. That's my line. I don't care if you are Bob Hope. No comedian's supposed to steal another comedian's line.
Okay, Runt. What are you going to do about it?
Hello, Mort.
Hey, Bob, we saw you in a picture. No kidding. With Dorothy Lamour tonight. It must be exciting working with her.
Oh, it's nothing, really. My Adam's apple ought to stop jumping any day now.
How about that scene where Dorothy was dancing the hula? She started out slowly, but when she shifted into second, wow.
You should have seen the part they cut out. She was in overdrive.
You know, I bet that film is still flopping around on the cutting room floor.
Yeah,
I get the good one. Yeah.
I had one that I thought was pretty good, but you ruined it right now. Would you mind trying your line once again?
All right. You know, I bet the film is still flopping around on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, only last week they finally beat it to death with a stick. Thank you very much. Hey, by the way, fellas, I'm throwing a little reception for you guys tonight after your show.
Oh, a reception for us? You hear that, Jerry?
Yeah, can you get some girls, or is this too sudden?
We'll be...
Oh, step all of it. It's nothing at all.
just
a little
bit. Yeah, what? Would you mind?
You're not exactly Saratan to me, you know. Will you please read Lampshade Head? No, I'm sorry.
You can cut that line out, too, I guess, too, huh?
Yes!
Oh, my...
We'll be there, Bob. The kind of girls we know, nothing's too sudden. Bye.
Wait, I'll get my hat and go with you. And another thing. fellas, it's going to be a formal party.
It's formal?
Yeah, bring your own pool cue. It's really going to be a swell affair.
Sounds good, Bob. Are you going to have champagne? I get a straight line.
How those strange words came out all right, you know?
I don't want you guys to get upset, but I don't like how well you're working together.
Don't worry, I can never match that hair. I'm having trouble growing it back here now. Would you mind feeding me again, if you don't mind?
Sounds good, Bob. Are you going to serve champagne?
No, I couldn't get any champagne, so I'm serving 7-Up and Coke. Nobody will know the difference.
Wait a minute, Bob. No one would take 7-Up and Coke in preference to champagne?
I would, but I'm only 22 years old. What do I know?
This kid's really going to live tonight. At midnight, he'll be drinking Ovaltine from Margaret O'Brien's slipper.
Well, it's awfully nice of you, Bob, to invite us. I'm sorry.
Please.
Well, I hope you folks are enjoying our career.
Well, it's awfully nice. It's awfully nice. I'll get this line in yet, yeah, boss.
I hope you have it right when you get your chance. Go ahead.
It's awfully nice of you to come over for our hour show. And to invite us to your party. Who's going to be there?
We'll need an hour to hatch this thing. Where are we? You've got me confused. You've read every line on this page. And after looking it over, you can have them.
Now, try this one.
May I ask a question?
I didn't get your name.
Why not?
Why not? I'm helping to kill you, too. You might as well. Step in, Jerry. Step in.
Jerry Colonna. Yeah.
Listen, I just wanted to tell you fellas that the man in the control room is laughing, but he's burning.
We're very lucky if he's still with us. He must be nailed down. Go ahead.
Yes, Bob. Who is going to be the part?
Yes, is that it? This may put Mortimer out of business, you know. What'd you say? I'm sorry, Dean. I didn't mean to ignore you.
No, I just said it's awfully nice.
You sing like mad, don't you? Where would you say?
Right now, I wish I were singing. Look, it's awfully nice of you, Bob.
Yes.
There, that's you. To invite us to your party. Now, who's going to be there?
Oh, I've asked a lot. Oh. I love those lines where they go upstairs for the last row. All right. So long. Goodbye.
Get your feet up.
Nothing like getting a fresh start.
I say, are you sure Abbott and Costello started this way? We're doing a quartet now.
Bob,
he's still talking. Is that a doll?
Who's going to be there?
At the party.
What? Oh, they're going to do a lot of...
Cuts. Here we go.
All right, let's go.
Well, I'll tell you. All right, why don't you read your line just for take?
Well, it's awfully nice of you, Bob, to invite us to our party. Who's going to be there?
Oh, I've asked lots of important people. The only thing is, does Jerry know how to act at a party?
Do I know how to act at a party? Why, one time in the back room of a barbershop...
Jerry! Bad libs get more.
Mighty quiet here. I'm only waiting for the cue. I'm not moving, brother.
Jerry, hold it.
Wouldn't it be funny if this was an audition?
Oh, CBS don't know how lucky they are. I was only thinking, maybe Jerry will be a little raucous.
Raucous? Me? Don't ever worry about Jerry Lewis being raucous. I'll make more noise than anyone there.
Look, Steel Woolhead. I hope you understand I've invited big names, people of refinement and breeding and culture.
Oh, that's all right. Refinement and breeding and culture pour out of me like sweat off a horse's neck.
He sounds like a peeping... You're going to pull another bladder, or are you through with that?
What do you want from me? I didn't do nothing.
Maybe when I'm in the business as long as you.
I doubt if you'll make it.
I'm trying.
You're a sweet boy, that's all.
Do you really think so?
I do. That's why I'm here. I'm not really after him. Say, where are we? Where'd we stop? You know? I don't know if I should go after this line or not. You know, he sounds like a peeping Tom who got his peep caught in a small keyhole. That's what I said. It's going to be quite a party. I asked Cary Grant, Randy Scott, Barbara Hutton.
Barbara Hutton, the heiress? Will she be there?
Well, no, she can't make it, but there'll be several girls from her store.
Hey, Bob, really, I'd like to have a date with one of those big movie stars like Barbara Stanwyck, Elizabeth Scott, or Diana Lynn. You think you can fix me up?
Not enough.
Just a minute, Mr. Hope. There's just one thing I'd like to say to you. Perhaps I don't look as good as some others with a physique, but it's arbitrary to me to Bert Piston for any one of those persons that shouldn't have the citizenship.
The cops are here.
Well, it was fun, radio, wasn't it? Those nightclubs are still going, boy.
Take it fresh, Jerry.
Just a minute, Mr. Holt. There's just one thing I'd like you to... It's too close to the paper. I'd like you to know that people would have an opinion of someone that's got a physique like mine may not consider themselves more or less on the position that I am. Not as a... I've known many people that consider themselves, but not me. When I'm well enough to arbitrate, then I'm not sure enough.
Would you mind repeating that?
Yeah.
Say, never mind, I've got to go now. See you at the party tonight.
Well, okay, all kidding aside, it was nice of you, Bob, to come down and help us get started. We really appreciate it.
While we're talking this way, Bob, there's something Dean and I have been wanting to say to you for a long time.
What's that, Jerry?
Well, Bob, we don't know what we'd have done without you since we arrived in Hollywood. You've always been willing to give us a helping hand when we lack courage and confidence. There was always you to go to. We could confide in you when we feel blue and all alone in the world. We could come to you with our troubles. And, Bob...
Yeah?
You're the type of guy we've always wanted for a mother.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, now what happened here was this was actually the pilot, not the unaired pilot for... The Martin and Lewis Show. Bob Hope was the guest.
Oh.
A week later when they actually premiered it, or 2 weeks later when they actually premiered it, was Lucille Ball that did all the earlier stuff with them. That's why this thing just went off the rails when Dean and Jerry and Bob were all ad-libbing. So this bit that was like 18 minutes long was supposed to be like maybe 10 minutes long at the most. And the whole program ran about 37 minutes as a pilot for this, for the Martin and Lewis. All the rest of them came in at 30 minutes because they had it tight, that tight. But they just let them go. And why not? It was just a pilot. It was, but they were absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Absolute gold. Too funny. Classics. Classics all. Jerry, Bob, Dean.
It just reminds me, I don't know what show it was, and I wish I would know, but there was a point that Bob Hope and Groucho Marx were on the same show, and Bob Hope dropped his script, and as he was bending down to pick it up, Groucho Marx stepped on it and kept his foot on it, so Bob couldn't pick it up, and those two just went at it back and forth. I wish I knew which program that was, because I would love to have and share that program, I'm telling you.
We'll, over time, Dave, I would not be surprised if it showed up here on Erie House.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking it might have been a big show with Tallulah Bankhead was the host.
Oh.
So we'll just have to check that out, yeah.
Tallulah, she was a naughty girl.
Oh, my, and she was a perfect hostess for that show.
Yep.
And that show, they had comedy, which she participated in. They had singing. They had a dramatic sketch in there. All in a 90-minute show. It was one of radio's biggest attempts to hold on to a radio audience. They wanted to take that to television. Tallulah said, no, I won't do it on television. And so it didn't go there, and it died. It came back late 70s. NBC put it on television. And because of that, actually, that was one of Edgar Bergen's very last appearances on television.
Ooh. So, interesting.
I remember watching that. Being a fan of radio, the big show comes to television, and Edgar Bergen was on there. And I think he died within a week of that appearance. Now, it was probably filmed before that. And I think he was in Cincinnati. He did a show in Cincinnati. And after the show was over and such, he passed away. I believe it may have been that way.
Yep. A little bit of radio and comedy history for you, gang, on Erie House. Next week, we're inching closer to the holidays, gang. Next week, what do we got? We're going to play with dolls.
Huh?
Yeah. We're
going to
play with dolls. One named Babs, another... Oh, no. Sorry. We're talking about the toy dolls. Ooh, that means... It's Talkie Tina time.
Yeah.
Suspense, Sherlock Holmes,
yeah.
And Johnny Dollar on Friday the 15th. And then next Saturday, CBS Radio Mystery Theater returns with a story called Toy Doll. So get ready for some more scatty stuff. Good to get back into the eerie stuff here on Erie House.
Yes, and we'll be celebrating Christmas and New Year's with Christmas and New Year's programs as well. And, yep, but we're heading into that fast enough. My goodness.
Where do the time go?
Where do the time go?
I don't know, but we still got 3 minutes of it. Well, Gar the Ghoul, Audible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul, comes up in those 3 minutes over on them Twitches.
Yep. And I'll be tuning over there. I know, Dale, you usually go over there afterwards as well. I know you're not feeling completely up to par, but, we may see you over there. We'll see Fox there. And good old Bob will be there as well. I think good old Bob, hey, he's still here. But he'll be signing off any minute now just to run over as Gar's getting ready to kick in Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and fill the bathtub up with Vicks VapoRub and jump right in. Worked for me yesterday. Wow,
okay.
There's an eye opener.
Yeah, I would think so.
Woo. It leaves
me feeling in the chat
tingly.
Right now. Yep.
What's that?
CW's in the chat now. Good to see you, CW.
Oh, hi,
probably caught
C.
you at the end of your shift there.
C-Dubs, thanks for dropping in the last... 5 or 10 minutes here. Appreciate it. We missed you. But we'll have the dolls next weekend.
Playing with dolls. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. CW reports Bob Hope and Groucho Marx ad-libbed on the radio show The Big Show.
It was The Big Show. Good. And that would be, Groucho Marx was on several times. Bob Hope wasn't on as many times. So it should be able to easier to track down that. Thanks, CW. We're going to find that clip and have that. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for shortening the research time. That worked out rather nicely. But always contributing to the show. Even when you're not here, you're here.
That's right.
And we love you for it. So everyone, head on over to the Twitches. And with any luck, I'll have most of my voice back and my sinuses, too. That'd be nice to have them a little more unencumbered.
Yeah, some people leave their heart in San Francisco. Dale leaves his sinuses. Yeah,
I left my schnoz in San Francisco. God. Last thing you need to hear is me singing. On that note,
the castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
See you next week.
When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
I'm not. I'm with my goat.
Can you dig it?
It's so funny. What's so funny?
I don't know. Oh, that was almost perfect. Almost perfect.
Well, here we go.
Yeah, not too bad.
You made it through another one, Dale.
Yeah. Now, if I could just.
I'm glad we finally got to play that Martin Lewis and Bob Hope piece.
Oh yeah, I've been curious about it since you uploaded it, and I am glad we got it in there as well tonight, because that was awesome. It almost sounded like they were fighting at first.
Yeah, I think it was kind of written a little rougher, but then they started ad-libbing. Sometimes it even got rougher than that, yeah.
Yeah, they seem to be getting a little snarky with one another. But I'm sure it was all for play.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bob Hope and Dean especially remained on very good terms for many, many years. I know Bob made several appearances on his TV show, as well as even being roasted, the one of the Dean Martin roast as well.
Yes. I've been watching those not too long ago. About a month or two ago, I started watching a few of them. Don Rickles, the Bob Hope one. Yep. Oh, Rickles is great.
Rickles is great. I always love it when Foster Brooks comes on.
Yeah, he's a treat.
Ruth Buzzy made several appearances on that show.
Yeah, it surprises me some of the stars that appear. People you never hear of anymore, like Nipsey Russell and Jackie Mason.
Bill Burr was a fairly regular on that.
Yes, Uncle Milty would make the scene often. And he often played as if he were very angry, you know what I mean, when somebody would make a joke at his expense.
Yeah.
Again, just acting, I'm sure.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of fun, but... Well, David, I do need my rest.
We'll get your rest, and let me let you go, and we'll be back again next week. You bringing the dolls, or am I? Oh, I guess I'm bringing the dolls.
The dolls?
Yeah.
Yeah, for next week.
Yeah, for next week.
All I got is some G.I. Joes, maybe, somewhere. I don't know.
Well, that's an action figure, yes.
Yeah, they're both. I never got hung up with the thing of dolls. You know what I mean? Of calling something, like when they call it a G.I. Joe doll. That just never bothered me as a kid. He's an army guy, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Never bothered me. Anywho, let's bring out the Schnozola.
All right, let's do that. Come on.
I mean, the other one.
Come on, Jimmy. Come on, Jimmy.
The other Schnozola. not me.
Good night.
Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night, goat. Good night. Good night, CW. What more is this say but good night? Good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Horrible, what we say, and it's time to good night.
Good night.
Good night already.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week, when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.
Good night.